and welcome to the Pocket Gamer podcast. It's episode number 278. I'm your host, James Gilmore. Joining me today is Harry Slater.
Hello, James.
I'm bleeding everywhere, Harry. I'm bleeding. Bleeding.
I've dialed 99. If it gets worse, I'll dial 9.
You'll dial 1 and then laugh while nothing happens. Yes. Because we're in the UK, you bugger. I realise it doesn't look especially impressive for you Twitch viewers out there. I'm holding my bloody finger up to the camera. But it just keeps bleeding. What happened, right, is in my rush to prepare a football video that's going to go up on AppSpy later, and B, this podcast, I got a little bit overzealous and I smashed an entire glass full of water all over my desk. So the glass shattered everywhere, the water went everywhere, down onto my gang plug underneath the desk, shorted out the fuse box, caused the power cuts, and it's been the best afternoon ever. How have you been, Harry?
Good. Yeah, I've not thrown anything at any of my electronic devices yet. Just because I hear that throwing water on things is a bad idea.
Depends what it is. Throwing waters onto sea monkeys is good. Because
at sea monkeys illegal?
No, I don't know. I hope not. I'm just gonna. I'm gonna have to hide my stash otherwise.
Yeah, you should do that. Don't broadcast it. Cut that bit out when we go live about the sea monkeys. But yeah, I've been playing video games and sitting around on my own. It's been good. Yeah,
like
I've enjoyed it.
That sounds like a weekday to me. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
We've been sitting around, kind of doing the stuff back at HQ, both AppSpy and Pocket Gamer HQ. While we've had other people out in the world at E3, because it's been E3 most of the week so far. All of the week, actually, so far.
Yeah.
Our roving reporter, you've had Matt Diener, who is out there for Pocket Gamer, doing written stuff, and also Peter Wellington, who is clearly a podcast regular and is absent today because he is swanning around an LA conference hall being all hot and sweaty and trying to capture video of games. There is video up right now as you listen to the podcast. There'll be a bunch of stuff up, both on the AppSpy and the Pocket Gamer YouTube channel, so go and check that out. Some hands-on video exclusive stuff. And we've been kind of sitting at home going,
looks right, yeah. It has been quite sunny, though.
It is, yeah. It's been quite sunny here, and I know it's always hot in LA and whatever, but it's actually been warm here for a change in the UK. So we're pretending we're in LA.
Yeah.
I'm like going out to my shed and I'm writing Hooters on the side of it, putting a like crudely drawn picture of a girl with a large chest, and then and calling everyone who walks past my garden y'all, and that's me recreating the E3 experience. I think
I'm just coked off my face.
First on this week's updates, and kind of only this time, we've got Autumn Dynasty Warlords, which is getting a massive free update. It's called Insurrection. What it does is it gives you a bunch of new options and scenarios, so extra warlords you can choose from. It already has a massive campaign, but this makes it that bit bigger, and you get extra captains and missions as well. A couple of relics to collect if you're into relic collecting, that sort of thing, and like in a sort of Lara Croft Tomb Raider sort of way, I suppose. If you're not familiar with the game, don't frown like that, then it's a top-down, it's one of those 4X strategy things. So you take control of your little I don't know what you'd call it, I suppose.
It's like a little corner of China that's yours, and then you have to go get other ones by smashing their faces in, or by asking them to join, or by bribing them. It's really big.
Mm.
I think big is the best word to describe. Now it's even bigger. It has been bigonated,
exactly.
Which is good.
Embiggened.
Yes.
And it was already impressive. We actually liked this one. I liked it on AppSpy as well. It uses the touchscreen very well with the ability to select troops by painting a little brush around them and then putting your finger on them and dragging them to the place you want to go. It's a very nice feeling interface, and these games would generally work on touchscreen, and this sort of suited it down to the ground. So new content can only be a good thing. It's free content, the Insurrection expansion, so that's even better news. If you haven't already got the game, it's having its price cut to £2.99 and $4.99, and it's usually about a fiver.
Yeah, I think it's $4.99 usually,
because it is it's a chunky monkey of a game.
Very big, very big. Exactly. They reckon there's about 100 hours of gameplay in there before this update, so that's like 101 now at least.
Man alive,
yeah,
I don't even have the right hours in the day to accomplish that. But you guys might. So if you want to do it, you can obviously download the free update right now. That's all the updates we're doing this week, because we've got so much news to get through. It is literally obscene. It's E3 still, and everyone's been using this opportunity to either show stuff at the show or just send us emails saying, look at what new stuff has happened. Today's new stuff. E3 says that World of Tanks Blitz is finally coming out globally, specifically on June 26th, which is kind of good news, because Peter and I sat down and played this one, did a bit of a multiplayer experiment, and also just tried to do the online thing as well, single player, and were surprised that it was actually quite good fun and sort of worked. Have you had a bash at it yet, or
I've had no game time with this game.
Oh, really?
Yeah, just never had a chance to play it. Yeah, it was someone else did the preview, I think. So I'm bad at my job.
No, it's all right. We had to steal either a Swedish or a Finland app store account in order to download it, because it was only available in about 4 or 5 locations. But now it has been prepped to go global and will actually do so later on this month, 26th, which is really good news, because I'll say I hadn't played much of the PC game. I'd seen a couple of my friends play it, but I'd not had a go myself, and I was a little bit hesitant because the whole tank combat thing was not necessarily like bleeping on my radar as a thing I had to play, because slow, aren't they, by their very nature, and they appeal to the kind of World War fanatics and things, which is, you know, great, because they're usually quite historically accurate. They contain a lot of the tanks that are from the era, and people obviously really, really enjoy that. From my own side of things, I don't dig on the war sims, really. So I was like, yeah, whatever. Played it, and I had a really good time, because it was both Peter and I in a platoon. You have to create your own platoons, up to about 7 tanks, I think. And then you can go online, and you challenge other platoon-owning types to massive tank-based ruckuses. And it controls pretty well, considering. Once you get used to the speed at which things move, which is slow, and provided you've got a decent internet connection, that's always the sticking point with these games, because you do need to have a constant and decent online internet connection. Otherwise, you just get kicked from a game every 50 seconds, which is rubbish. But if all the conditions are correct, and the sun is in Pluto and everything aligns, then you can have some quite good fun with it. I don't know what tweaks they've made to the game since it's been launched, because it's a soft launch and they usually make a few adjustments, but we will see. June 26th, look forward to that one. And what we'll do is we're going to get a massive platoon together. We're going to do an App Spy / Pocket Gamer platoon, get online and do some like Twitch mobile multiplayer gaming, and it'll be a right laugh, I reckon. So can I conscript you, Harry?
Absolutely, yeah. Excellent. But don't shout at me when I'm useless, because I'm useless at games.
I will give you a proper Apone style cigar chomping scolding.
Alright, fair enough.
Look forward to that.
To be honest, that's going to be worth it.
Just by itself. Okay, next up, a very quick one here. King of Candy Crush Saga fame has launched a new spin-off to Candy Crush Saga, which is the same thing but with the word soda in it. I can see the look of shock and delight on your face there, Harry. Because you really like soda? Is that what it is?
I don't even know what soda is. Isn't that type of bread?
That's true, because we here in the United Kingdom, we don't have soda. That's an American thing. We have fizz or fizzy pop, don't we?
We also don't have candy.
No, it's true. We have sweets.
And King is very much a British company as well. It's not like, really? Yeah. I think it was Mark said when it was announced that he wanted Fizzy Pop Sweet Story, it'd be much better.
That's what it should be called. But yeah, they've gone for the most Americanized title possible. And who are we to judge? Because it served them pretty well by being a billion-dollar franchise. So what they've done is they've launched a new version of it. It's called Candy Crush Soda Saga. It's only on Google Play for Android users in Canada, Sweden, Spain, and the Netherlands. The differences are not a huge amount, but a little bit, all right? So it's obviously the same Match 3 style gameplay, but the difference is that there's a purple soda that you see kind of like floating in the background, and what it does is it makes the candies that are in the grid float up as the level rises, instead of like falling down to the bottom. So that changes things, because things that were previously going down, right, yeah, they're now going up. So that's a bold new step for mobile gaming. I'm sure you'll agree.
Up is the future. down with down, exactly. Quite frankly. And down is dead.
And up is the way forward, right?
Upwards.
Yeah, awesome. Okay, the other thing that was an amusing side note to it is obviously we went and had a look at the Google Play listing and we saw what they'd been up to and stuff. And we saw the reviews and it had some very strong reviews, sturdy 4- and 5-star reviews. We're like, oh, wow, people must really like it. And they were quite well-worded reviews, reviews written by people who seemed to know the game very well, considering it had only been out for like 10 minutes. And so we clicked on the accounts of the people who do it, which takes you pretty much straight to their Gmail like page, their Google Plus. And it turned out that nearly all of them were employees from King.
Well, in fairness, though, they would have played the game more than other people, so they'd be able to form an opinion.
That's true. Maybe they're the perfect people to review the game, the guys who designed it.
Who designed it and built it and do PR for it, yeah.
It's in no way a conflict of interest, but I would have thought they'd create a dummy account.
At least, yeah, at least try. At least not making it obvious. Hi, I'm John King. No relation.
But they opted not to and just rated it well. So if you believe them, it's the bestest game ever. But we haven't played it yet. I haven't done it yet. But it's out there if you want it. There you go. Android fans, get involved if you really want to. So moving on to more prescient E3 things. One of the announcements that came out last week / this week was Hitman Sniper, which is being developed by Square Enix, which is always a weird thing to say. Hitman with Square Enix is always freaks me out. And it's done by the same company who did Hitman Go, which was that top-down board game Hitman game that was actually very good.
Very good.
And managed to capture the essence of the Hitman games despite the fact that it was a board game and not a third-person snipey-shooty thing. So, some people still went, oh, this isn't really Hitman, I don't like it. And in response to this, the developers have turned around and gone, all right, then have this, Hitman Sniper, which is much more what you would perhaps expect from the Hitman camp, which is it puts you in charge of Agent 47 behind the scope of a great big sniper rifle and has you shooting people a lot. So, exactly like that, Harry. He's doing sniping symbols for podcast listeners there. The international symbol for snipe, which is hand up and thingy.
Everyone well knows. Described, I know, sir. Right? I know, well right? Described.
I word good me. If you played Hitman Absolution, or more specifically if you pre-ordered it, you got access to a little mini-game thing, which I did actually play, to sort of whet your appetite for the game, which was pretty much this. They say it's very similar to, it's got a genetic link, where it's just literally you, like, perched on top of a rooftop, and what you have to do is zoom in, and you can look at areas, like you can see there's a large, impressive-looking complex, like fancy home being pictured there, and you zoom in, and you can see people wandering around the area, and so you snipe in on them, and you have to eliminate specific targets in order to prevent some guy from maybe walking up and getting to the chopper in time, but if you shoot the wrong person, he'll become alerted, and everyone will start running to the chopper, and you won't be able to complete the mission. So, it's apparently, according to Matt Diener, who's played it at E3, he says it's quite good fun.
Sounds quite good fun, hiding on a building, shooting people. That sounds, I'd do that.
Yeah.
In a game.
Of course, in a game. Important caveat there. Apparently, there's a really nice reloading sequence where you, like, swipe to pop the clip out, then jam in a new one and ready a bullet in the chamber, all swipe-based, which is quite nice. I like little things like that. One of the things I really liked about Gears of War was that active reload system where you tap it at the right time when the slider hits. And it's just a tiny little micro game in amongst the main game. But it just rewarded you for, like, quick reflexes. And when you pulled it off, you kind of felt like a superhero.
Yeah,
and that's what those things should do. It was a nice little minor reinforcement of the game. Matt played it. He enjoyed his sniping antics, and apparently it's really interactive, surprisingly interactive, as in you can shoot lots and lots of other things. People will walk in and out of rooms, switch on lights, turn on their smartphones while you're doing stuff. So he said there's a cue ball lined up directly in front of an 8-ball on a pool table that was there, and just for a laugh he thought he'd try it out. He zoomed in on the cue ball and took a shot, and it pinged off, ricocheted into the 8-ball, and bounced around the pool table. That's interactive.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm impressed by that. So I have some faith in this because of the caliber of Hitman Go. I'm hoping that they can sort of knock it out the park again. Even though it's more traditional, they're still incorporating the idea of the Hitman games and the fact that it's a touch screen interface and swiping around, you know, gallery shooters and stuff also work pretty well. Better than third-person shooters, anyway. So this sort of could be a winner, hopefully. It's going to be free to play, though, That's the only caveat that is in the whole thing. But they are saying, obviously, as everyone does, that they're going to do it nicely and fairly and it won't be a problem and blah, blah, blah. But they always say that, so who bloody knows. You up for playing this, Harry?
Yeah, sounds good. Sounds Hitman Go was really good. Like you say, it captured the essence of the Hitman games in a way that worked on mobile. And this sounds like it's, you know, trying to do something similar. So it's still got that sort of silliness with the pool balls and all the rest, you know, shooting smartphones or whatever. Yeah. But at the same time, it's just, you know, it sounds quite simple. And you're right, the swiping stuff out to put guns in and the bullets and the... Yeah, that sounds good. Sounds good.
Yeah, I'm well up for this. So we don't have a release date yet. All we do know is that it will be out in the fall. So that's autumn for you UK listeners. Sometime during that 3-month period, you'll be getting it. But as soon as we have a proper release date, we will let you know. Pinky swears. Oh, what else have we got? Oh, this page didn't load because it's the best. Let's try load it again. There we are. Final Fantasy Agito, which is the game that I played on an Apps by Twitch stream entirely in Japanese. For which I deserve massive props, because we were doing it live and trying to download it and going, is this going to work? Probably not. I'm just going to make a complete moron of myself trying to do this. But it sort of worked, and it's weird, surprising how much of a game you can get through when it's entirely written in a foreign language and all the VO is foreign. Like, there's something about the way that game interface works that you can kind of guess from symbols and, like, whether it's on the right or the left and stuff. And we totally managed to make it our way through several combat situations and everything. It was great. But won't have to worry about all that anymore, because it is officially confirmed for North America. It will be coming to that app store again soon, inverted commas, so it should be sometime this year. If you haven't seen the App Spy stream that we did, it's a third-person RPG based mainly around combat, obviously in the Final Fantasy style. It's set in the same universe as Final Fantasy 13 and the spin-off that was made for, I think, PSPs. I can't remember the name of it.
Final Fantasy Zero?
Yeah, Zero.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
There was a nought involved. Mm. It was, like, really impressive looking. Like, seriously impressive looking. So, like, full 3D in the Final Fantasy 13 style. You kind of play as a little cadet, student, pupil thing. You create your own character from scratch. And you start off in this school area, and you have to go around talking to the other pupils, talking to the teachers, who will then set you tasks to do, and then you go into, like, mission instances where there are a bunch of beasties you have to fight. It's a different battle system, as it's showing on the video right now. It was sort of surprisingly easy to get my head around, even in the foreign language, so I imagine it will make a good deal more sense in English. And it's certainly left an impression. We've seen a lot of reboots of old Final Fantasy games on iOS, don't we?
Yeah, we do. Every day.
Yeah, we get your Final Fantasy V's and your Final Fantasy VI's and Final Fantasy Tactics and all that ported over. We rarely see an actual created for iOS Final Fantasy game. And that's what this is. It's been built from the ground up, and it's, as you can see, it's pretty impressive looking.
Square Enix's built for iOS RPGs have usually been quite good as well, because there was that Chaos Rings series that were all actually really entertaining and sensibly sized RPGs, so you could play them in a bit and then wander off because you're on your phone and you can't always play games all the time on your phone because you have to steer or whatever.
This is true.
But yeah, I think, you know, some of the stuff Square's done has obviously been, well, awful. it was really difficult not to swear then.
I was going to say, don't mince your words there.
But yeah, it looks really nice. I like the way that the big battles and stuff can involve everyone in the game. So, like, everyone who's playing the game is fighting the same bad guys and stuff, I think. Sort of like the Clash mobs in Infinity Blade, I think.
Yes,
so
that's right.
You're like, everyone's bashing away at the same thing, and that sounds really cool. It sounds sort of multiplayer, but not heavy on the connection speed, if you see what I mean. So you can play with other people, but you don't have to really connect to them. So yeah, it looks really interesting, and I'm sort of here in the middle somewhere for it. I'm sort of like, could be good. I'll give it a chance.
Well, again, it is free to play. I only played it for about, like...
Lower down.
Exactly. I only played it for about half an hour, 3/4 of an hour, and most of that was spent trying to work out how to get to a battle. But I have given it a bash, and it certainly got me interested. More so than just another remake of an old Final Fantasy classic. Mm. So kudos to them for doing something new. We give Square a bit of flack for their prices and their endless reboots, but fair play, this is new and interesting, and I'm up for this. So it'll be coming out soon, inverted commas, but as I say, probably sometime this year, hopefully weeks rather than months. Speaking of Square rehashing old games, the other trailer that Square released this week was for, you know, that mini game, right, in Final Fantasy VII, where you're at the Gold Saucer, that theme park, and you have to get on your little bike and you just drive around, that's it, with your big Buster Sword out, swiping up beasties as you go by. Well, Square have decided that definitely needs to be an entirely separate mobile game.
Obviously. Honestly, I'm surprised it's taken them this long to realise.
I was like, okay, because we first saw little glimpses of it, and you're like, have they, is it finally Final Fantasy VII? Have they brought it? Oh my, no. No, it's just the little mini game. So obviously they worked out that Endless Runners are a thing on iOS, and that mini game that occurred a good chunk of the way into Final Fantasy VII could potentially work as a good old-fashioned 3D auto-runner in the style of Temple Run.
Obviously.
Yep, and that's what they've gone and done. It's called Final Fantasy VII G-Bike. It's going to be out on iOS and Android this autumn in Japan first. Don't know when it'll be heading to the UK, but the trailer is in English, so it gives me the feeling that it'll be here sooner rather than later. It was originally reported about in Famitsu, and they were told we were able to jump and slide on the motorbike in the mobile version, neither of which you could do in the original game, so huge technological leap forwards there.
Innovation.
And you'll get a bunch of bikes to choose from, and you'll be able to customize the elements of the bike using materia, the little power orbs that you get. You know Final Fantasy VII, everyone does, surely. So, and apparently, this isn't the only one they're going to do. There are other mini games from the Golden Saucer that are also going to make their way to mobile phones. So they've realized that there's an entire wealth of mini games that they can pluck from this game to constantly and perpetually delay them having to ever remake Final Fantasy VII, which is all that anyone really wants, I think, at this point, isn't it?
Yeah.
I got a certain flutter looking at it and going, oh, look, actual new Final Fantasy VII stuff, yay. But then it's just going to be a tilty Temple Run sort of thing, isn't it? So
yeah.
And I've sort of had my fill of those, but whatever. It'll get plenty of downloads, no doubt, because it's Final Fantasy VII. Hooray for them. Let's do this, because I haven't, been able to reload the page since the power cut. So, MiFi controllers, as they are called. There are a bunch of them now available for iOS 7 owning types, and about 85% of them are pretty rubbish. However, the best of the lot was the SteelSeries Stratus, and we actually got a hold of one. Mark played it a bunch, and he's been quite critical of them up until now. But this one was the first to kind of kick away that little glaze of malaise that lay over his eyes whenever he picked one up. And went, yeah, you know what? This is actually good. It actually works with the game. So we went fair play. Now, SteelSeries has just announced at E3 the XL version of it, which you can see in the picture there right next to its little brother. And it looks like an Xbox controller, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Well, they all do, don't they? They all look like cheap knockoff Xbox controllers that you might buy at a car boot sale from a guy who's got a load of doll heads as well.
Yeah, they do look a bit like that. I was considering the amount of copyright law that flies around with, like, rumoured Apple trying to own a rectangle with a screen on it and stuff like that. All these claims between Apple and Samsung flying about back and forth. I am so surprised they get away with all the controller rip-offs that they do. Because so many of the controllers are just modelled after the Xbox pad, aren't they? The 360 pad. Yeah. The difference here is that they swapped the D-pad and the dual stick around, so now the dual sticks are both directly horizontal with one another, as opposed to one being above and one below. But apart from that, it's an Xbox controller. The idea apparently is that it's supposed to provide more comfort for holding, but obviously it's bigger and therefore it'll be chunkier to carry around, therefore a bit less portable. But I'd quite like to get hold of one because I just want to try. I've only briefly had a go on one of the, I think one of the Mad Cats or something controllers, and it was a bit rubbish, and it sort of put me off the whole idea of this isn't what mobile gaming is about. It's about touchscreens and utilizing them properly rather than bolting on bits of stuff that makes it look like an horrible quasi Frankenstein console, you know?
Yeah.
But considering these ones actually do work, and I know Peter's had a go on one and he swears by them, so interesting. It's already supported by 300 iOS games with stuff like GTA San Andreas, Leo's Fortune, Bastion. You can play them all using the controller, so that's good news. I know Limbo's compatible as well. We've got a full list of compatible controllers up on the site, so do go and have a little look at that. It's coming out later this year. We haven't got a fixed price yet.
100 quid.
Oh, really? Another 100 quid?
It's good. They're always 100 quid. They're always too expensive.
For what they are, yeah, I know what you mean. That's true. So, yes, if you're a controller fanatic, look forward to those. And everything suggests it'll be good. Big, but good. They've nailed it the first time. No reason this one shouldn't be as good, if not better. So, SteelSeries Stratus XL, it's called. Moving on to some Vita-based E3 news. I know, of which there has been some. One of the prettier things to come out of Sony's talk over at E3 was Entwined, which is like a twin stick auto runner thing, I guess. Have you seen this yet?
No.
Right, so I saw it at the actual conference when I watched it on the stream. And as far as I can make out, because it was only shown kind of briefly, you are taking control of these two little objects, one of them being a little flying eagle swan thing and the other one being an orange fish. And what you have to do is guide these two creatures around a tunnel. You're zooming sort of face first around a tunnel. Each one is controlled independently by one of your analog sticks. In the same way as if you've played Brothers, A Tale of Two Sons, each son is controlled by a separate analog stick and you have to kind of do a bit of right brain, left brain in order to get yourself around the puzzles. Same thing here. So you control the fish with the left stick, for example, and the bird with the other stick, and you have to move them around the edge of this tunnel, this cylinder that you're traveling through, and sort of fly across power areas and avoid obstacles and all that kind of stuff. The impressive thing about it are the visuals, which are absolutely lovely. I'll bring it up so you can see it properly. Really, really gorgeous. Not super detailed, but they're kind of like polygonal and a bit abstract arty. But it really does look lovely. They're trying to frame it around a love story, apparently.
Oh.
Between a birdie and a fishy. I suppose
wouldn't the bird eat the fish? Birds eat fish.
But Harry, where do you think flying fish came from? Ah,
he's bound to come.
Yeah, exactly. That's when a particularly foxy heron met a trout, and you know what happened. Oh, when a heron and a trout love each other very much. and apparently, if you do really well and you guide them through the tunnel with mad skills, the bird and fish transform into a flying green dragon, which is totally what happens if you've never seen that happen before. And you get to zoom around in a more like free open world and do fun things. The interesting thing about this announcement is that it's actually out right now. If you own a PlayStation 4, you can download it for $9.99 about, or £6.99. However, there is going to be a PS3 and a PS Vita version that will follow that release. So it will be coming to our handheld platform sooner rather than later. But if you're a PS4 owner, you can give it a quick look immediately if you really want to. I like the look of it. I mean, one of the more favourite games that came out on PS3 for me recently was Journey. And this reminds me slightly of that in terms of the art style. It reminds me of Journey and Flower and those slightly... You could either call them noodly, self-indulgent arty games, which some people think are a bit daft. But I really liked Journey. I thought Journey was great. I sat down and played it in one sitting, and I really, really enjoyed it. But some people I know are like, it's like complete it in an hour and there's barely any game. So it depends where you stand. Actually, where do you stand? Do you like this arty stuff, or do you find it a little
bit... I like anything that's a bit different. I don't really have time to play any games because I'm too busy playing games.
Yes, that's true.
So the stuff I do get to play is sort of sporadic. But no, I think, yeah, it looks good. It looks interesting. It looks... if you see a screenshot and you actually know what game it's from, then I think that's a good thing, because quite often you see a brown screenshot of a shooty man shooting men, and you're like, oh, it's from a game.
It's Shooty Bang Bang 4.
Nah, don't care.
Yeah. And well, this certainly doesn't look like that. I doubt they'll pull out a Glock on this eagle.
At the end.
Yes, and bust the cap.
Yeah.
Not going to happen. But if you do own a Vita, then look forward to it. It'll be coming out sometime soon. If you're PS4, I know you can check it out right now. You lucky, lucky people. All right, I think that's all of our newsing done. Let's see what's actually out and about this week. Out and about this week, Broken Age is here on iOS. Finally, just like the Kickstarter promised it would bloody ages ago. So, if you're not up to speed on Broken Age, it is Tim Schafer's super success story on Kickstarter. In fact, it's the game that really propelled Kickstarter into the public consciousness.
You could say it kickstarted Kickstarter.
Ooh, and this is why you get the big word monies. Check you out. Yeah, so if you haven't been anywhere near it, it's a point-and-click adventure in the classic LucasArts Tim Schafer style. Tim Schafer obviously being the guy who co-created Monkey Island and that stuff way, way back in the day, back in the 90s, and is known for his slightly off-the-wall, humorous point-and-click games. He decided he wanted to do another one and took to Kickstarter to say, go on, does anyone want this? And then it got like, I don't know what the original sum was about, like 800,000 or maybe
400,000, yeah. I think it was.
And then they cleared about 4 million or something ridiculous.
Something like that. Yeah,
so after the great success, they went, brilliant, we'll bring it to all platforms and PCs and iOS and all that. It's been out on PC for a while, the first half of it, that is. It's going to be released in two acts, and the first act is available and has been for a while. But we've been going, come on, typing at the watch, where's the iOS version coming in? And we knew it was coming soon, and then it just appeared. So you can play it right now. iPad only. I was going to say iPhone. It's not. iPad only. It's £6.99 or $9.99. So it's a bit pricey, but it costs you £15 to download it on PC anyway. Although I do think that includes both chapters. I don't know if this will be £6.99 per chapter. The PC version got lots of awesome reviews, and I actually played about an hour and a half of it around a friend's house. And it's good. It is good. It's very difficult for games to make you laugh or be genuinely funny in any real way, because it's incredibly difficult to deal with things like pacing in video games. And a lot of comedy is about timing, and you can't get that when you sit there for a half an hour not doing anything, then click, and then the punchline happens. But it's a really kind of lovely world. I only explored one of them. So it's a kind of telling two stories simultaneously. You're a boy who's stuck on a spaceship with this mollycoddling AI computer, which doesn't really want him to leave, acts like a mother figure. And then there's another story going on simultaneously about a girl who's going to be sacrificed to protect the village from this mythical beastie. I haven't been anywhere near that side of the story yet, but other one, the sci-fi one, it's cute and it's funny, and Elijah Wood does some good stuff with the voice acting, because he doesn't just play one character, he appears as another one. And it's that character, that other character, who I won't spoil, is really, really sort of funny and entertaining. Do you know, as reviewist person, who this is being farmed out to? Who's reviewing Broken Age?
Mr. Mark Brown.
Okay, all right then. He likes his point-and-click stuff. He's all about that. He's a Broken Sword man, one of his favourite games of all time. So this is right down his particular alley. So you'll get a nice, knowledgeable review of it from him. It's out right now, £6.99, $9.99. Probably well worth a look. We'll be reviewing it, video review on Apps by later. And we've got a hands-on that's up right now, so you can see what it looks like on iPad in motion. So there you go. Also out now, and also finally, Angry Birds Epic. Which is that Angry Birds RPG that no one knew they wanted. And it came out in about a couple of countries. So it was out in Canada and France and the moon. And I don't know where it was at, really. But it came out in a few places, and it's been soft launched for a while. And it's finally come out now. And we gave it, let's scroll down and find out for the big reveal, 6 out of 10. Which is, because we review in the more hard-line system, it's not awful. 6 out of 10 isn't awful. That's fine. That's above average. Mark says it's fun, it's streamlined, it's surprisingly deep, but there isn't a great deal of variety to the combat or the environments, and there are a lot of in-app purchases. This is a free-to-play game, and when I played it for my hands-on preview thingy, I remember it was fine when you did the normal battles. Then you start getting into these chain battles. So just in case you haven't seen it at all, it plays out like a JRPG almost. So your birds line up on one side of the screen, the piggies on the other, and then you put your finger on the bird, you drag it towards the piggies, and they leap across the screen, take a swipe, and then you have to wait for them to recharge so you can attack again. So it's kind of an active time system, Final Fantasy style combat, but very simplified, obviously. Looks pretty. The animations are great. The birds have got extra powers. The yellow bird's the mage, for example, and you can do lightning bolts and crap and attack nasty pig hog sorcerers and stuff. And usually you have these single encounters. Later on, it starts going on to these chain encounters where you have to, like, progress up a tower. So you have to do several battles one after the other. And if you die halfway through, you're right back to the bottom of the tower, and you have a limited number of hearts. And if you run out of hearts, you have to wait for the energy to recharge and all that. You played this at all, or you just seen stuff about it?
I've just seen stuff about it. No, because Mark did the hands-on preview when it came out for us, so I just gave him the review when it came out, so I didn't have to play it.
Oh man, cold. I'm obviously, we're gonna do the review at Apps by tonight, so there'll be a review video up on Friday, the day you listen to this, hopefully, if you're subscribed and you listen immediately. If not, you catch up with it later, but it's okay from what I played. There's a very, very high level of polish to these Rovio games now.
Yeah.
Because they're very good at doing what they do, and the resources they have are phenomenal. So it's not surprising they look amazing. But I think they're trying to crack the free-to-play model. They're trying to find the game that works for them. I don't know how successful Angry Birds Go was in terms of getting people to hand over money, but they're trying out different genres in order to kind of find a free-to-play success, I think. And this was another stab at that. So an admirable attempt. But not without its issues. But you can find out for yourself now. Free to download iPhone and iPad anywhere you like.
It's on the Androids as well.
Oh yeah, Androids, yep, too. And the wouldn't like to leave them out either.
No.
No. All right then. Now let's do this because this is cool. VVVVVV. All of the V's. It was out on PC back in 2010. It was created by Terry Kavanagh, who is the guy behind Super Hexagon, which is one of my favourite mobile games in the forevers. And it was then ported over to 3DS and has now finally found its way onto iPhone and iPad. And it's arrived pretty much absolutely intact.
Yeah.
And bloody playable as well.
Very playable. Surprisingly playable.
Yeah, because as with all these sort of very precise platformers, things like Super Meat Boy and stuff, you think these really do need controls, real physical tactile controls. Obviously PC, it was a WSAD thing or arrow keys, and then on your DS port you had your left and right crossbar, so you could deal with that. You knew when you were going left, you knew when you were going right, and there was no mistake either way, no chance of you messing it up. The way they've done it here is they've divided it right down the centre, the screen that is, and the left-hand side of the screen, if you put your thumb on it, if you move left, you'll move left, if you swipe right, you'll move right. That's it. The whole right side of the screen controls the gravity shifting mechanic. So you tap once, you'll go up to the ceiling, tap again, you go back down to the floor. As you are demonstrating with a fluorescent marker right now, the power of television. If you've not encountered the game at all before, it's an extremely retro, as in like 1980s Spectrum era retro platformer, in which you take control of this guy whose spaceship's been sucked into a weird dimension and allows him to control gravity, and he has to go and find his lost crew by navigating this terrible maze, which has got spikes and weird beasties all over it. It is bloody hard, but very, very satisfying and rewarding with it. Did you play the original PC version? Or
I didn't play the PC version. I did play the 2.2.3DS version.
Oh, cool. All right.
So I wasn't new to it when I came to it on iOS. But it's really good. So, it's like really good.
Yeah. As someone who's played both versions, did you find the leap tricky? Because I've only ever played the iOS version. And I found it surprisingly playable.
I mean, it was quite a long time ago I played the DS version, but not really. No, it picks up and it plays as well as it ever did. I think that's the impressive thing about the port. There was always a danger with a game like this that you'd pick it up on your phone or whatever and just be like, I don't want that. But it doesn't at all. You pick it up and it's just like, this does this, this does that, and then you do that and it does that, and that's it. Just works, I think. Because it's not jumping as well somehow. It feels more at home. It doesn't make any sense why it should feel more at home with it not being jumping. But when you're flipping, it sort of feels right It's still precise, but there's less precision somehow.
Well, for me, it's quite difficult to do things like running jumps and stuff when you're dealing with touchscreens. That can be a bit, especially if you're trying to like push up into a top left-hand corner and do a jump, and you're muddling around with those slightly iffy virtual sticks, and you're trying to push a couple of virtual buttons and switch between them, and there's plenty of room for error there. When you strip it right down to just hold your thumb on the screen left and right, and then just a single tap, you're kind of in business, as Terry Kavanagh proved with Super Hexagon, which was literally same thing, screen split in two, think thumb on the left-hand side, thumb on the right, and you just tap that to swivel in each direction. Couldn't be more simple, totally binary, but totally worked. Mm-hmm. And I think he's managed to, by just adding one element, a left and a right and a jump button, sorry, a gravity inversion button, he's managed to maintain the same simplicity with the same level of precision. And I was playing it on the stream and got all like excited. And it was after a lot of free-to-play games I've been going like, And then I started playing it, and you forget to talk because you're kind of involved in the game and going, oh, this is good. And someone reminds you, like, by the way, you're being streamed to people. You also get a little bonus, which is a game called Super Graviton, which has been created specifically for iOS. It's a little score-chasing game, I think, where you're just like he's constantly flipping gravity around inside like a set screen.
I think it was at the end of the original...
Oh, really? And he's released it as a separate...
And he's just sort of cut it out and released it for free.
Ah.
I think that's what it is.
Gotcha.
I could be wrong.
All right, then. Well, there isn't any iOS controller support for this one, but like we say, they've nailed the touchscreen controls really, really well. So there's, to be quite honest, no need.
There are multiple options for control as well. You don't have to, if you don't like the swipey one, there's one you can do it, tap either side of the screen to move left, and then double tap, like tap both sides to flip gravity. There's lots of choice.
Gotcha. Excellent. Well, you can download it right now. It's iPhone and iPad, £1.99 or $2.99, which is a bargain because it's still selling on Steam for a fiver, for like sort of $8-9. So that's really cheap, and you're not taking a hit, really, with the controls. I'm seriously impressed, and it's a bargain to be able to take it everywhere you want to go. So I would strongly recommend that. VVV, VVV, all the Vs. The other one that I liked from this week's little list was Fluid SE. It's from a company called Radiant Games, who produce a lot of games with very similar visuals, very similar themes, but... they're always reliable in terms of the quality is always really high. So I don't mind so much. So, for example, they did Inferno Plus, which was a Geometry War style twin stick neon blaster thing. Recently, they did Joy Joy, which was not a million miles away from that. Slightly less frantic and hectic and a bit more kind of calm. It was done in like pastel shades and stuff. But again, really slick, really, really smart. This new one, Fluid SE, is still got that, I guess, heritage, that genetic link, but it's slightly different. So you take control of this creature, which is in fact a fish called Streak, and the idea is you're swimming through these underwater environments, though you can't really tell they're underwater. They still look like top-down mazes, usually with circular curved obstacles and things cut out the middle of them. And you have to collect little pellets in a very Pac-Man sort of way. So you munch them on down, and you have to collect all the pellets as quickly as possible. If you do so in a set time period, then you will get a star rating accordingly. Do it really, really fast, you'll get 5 stars. And you need the stars to unlock the next batch of 5 levels. So you start off with 5 available. You've got to get a certain amount of stars to unlock the next lot, and so on and so on. I think there's 40 levels in total. The gameplay difficulty increases as you start to encounter extra elements. So there's nothing at first, you're just swimming around, trying to avoid the orange dots that appear when you munch the yellow ones. So every time you munch the yellow one, it turns into an orange one and it pursues you. So in order to help you on your way, you get little speed boosts like on Wipeout, and it makes you faster and you need them to escape. You also get little warp things which teleport you from one side of the screen to the other. There are little vortexes, swirly vortexes you can munch, and it sucks all the orange ones towards, kind of keeping them away from you, which is great. So there are a bunch of elements to it, and this is, it's really slick. I find them very fun. They don't necessarily shatter the world, but they're incredibly reliable and really, really playable. And I enjoy them. I quite look forward to these games when they do them.
I wrote the review today. I think it's going up tomorrow morning on Pocket Gamer. It's good. Yeah, it's very good. It's not what you sort of think it is. You pick it up and you think it's going to be similar to Radiant Games, other stuff, that it's going to be a shooter.
Yeah.
It has that same aesthetic, like you said, it has that same sort of stark, arcadey look with smooth edges that they do really, really well. They've got a signature style.
Yes.
And then you sort of start playing it and you think, oh, it's a bit like Pac-Man. And it's sort of easy to grab all the dots in, and that's it. But then you realise there's that star rating system, and you realise it's actually one of the most difficult games that has ever been created. Because to get 5 stars on some of the levels, you sort of look at your score, and then you look at the... Quite often as well, until you've got 4 stars, the 5-star score is hidden.
Yeah.
So you look at the 4-star score, and you're like, I'm never going to get that. That's impossible. And then you work out, sort of, you've got to cut corners and go a little bit faster here, and you can dodge that thing that makes you fat but will protect you, and that'll mean you'll get... And it's just... It's sort of 10-15 seconds is all the levels last.
Yeah.
But you're sort of... You keep going back and back and back and back to try and save, and you sort of... You lose a 0.2 of a second, and you're just like, oh, yes, I'm the greatest gamer who ever lived!
Exactly.
And it's that sort of compulsion just to show the game that actually, you know what, screw you, game. I'm a living, breathing human being, and I can beat you. But it's definitely, definitely worth picking up. I think it was... Because it was started on... Xbox Live Arcade, I think it was there for a while.
Oh, wow.
Started off on there. And again, the controls are great. And if you don't like the controls, there's like sensitivity tweaks and everything in the options and stuff. So you can sort of refine. And it's got that sort of granular little bits that you do and the little corners that you cut to get to those top scores. It's very, very addictive.
Yeah, I was doing the same thing on the stream. I was like supposed to be showing all the levels, and then I got to level 3 and I was like, I'll just try it again and beat my score, shall I? And that's what you end up doing, just looping round and round the same. Nice instant restarts as always, which is hugely important in these things. And it's great. In fact, you can look at their entire back catalogue. It's really sturdy, good stuff.
Yeah.
And well worth a look at them. So Radiant Games is the company, and Fluid SE, which stands for Special Edition, is the game. It is £1.49 or $1.99 on iOS, iPhone and iPad. It's also out in the Google Play Store, I think, or at least coming out.
It's out Google Play, and it's on Windows Phone. Who knew they existed?
On what now?
It's Windows Phone.
Gotcha. Well, Keith will be delighted. So you can go and have a look at that one right now. Also out, and I haven't played this one yet, is a game called Revolve, which is from Team 17, who are the chappies behind Worms, or at least were the developer behind Worms initially. Now, have you played this one yet? Because I haven't. Oh, yeah,
I have played it.
What's this all about?
It's a bit like Super Hexagon, but with Team 17's cutesy trappings on top of it.
Really?
You control a planet.
Right.
Which has just got life starting on it. You start off with one tree.
Okay.
And this planet is being bombarded by asteroids.
Okay.
You tap left on the screen and your planet goes left. You tap right, goes right. And you have to make sure that none of these asteroids hit the point on your world where life exists. So you're basically, it's a similar sort of thing. You're weaving sort of through that a maze of asteroids. You're a fixed point.
Mm-hmm.
So it's quite good. It's surprisingly good, actually. It's not as good as Super Hexagon, but it's got a...
Frankly, what
an
is?
Interesting, well, yeah, an interesting progression mechanism. So after every wave of asteroids that you've missed... that you've dodged, more life starts to happen on your planet.
Right.
So the area that you get hit in gets bigger. But then the life also develops, so it gets lasers. So sometimes you've got, like, little cute things that are firing lasers to shoot the asteroids before they hit you. And it's just, it's really sort of... It's a really nice game.
Oh, I've actually got a video up of it now. I just dived onto YouTube just to have a quick look. Yeah, I see what you mean. Twisting the planet to avoid the oncoming things. Yeah, much like Super Hexagon. But pretty... Okay, cool. I might give that a go then. That's free to play as well, isn't it? That's not
Well, it's free. It's not free to play. There's a 1 IAP to get rid of the ads if you want.
Oh, brilliant. Okay, that's not too bad then. So that's available. It's out right now. iPhone and iPad once again. And finally, because it's a long one this week, Lex, which is a wording game for wordists who like words. I played this on the stream last night and temporarily lost the ability to spell, which was slightly problematic. given the nature.
That's what it does, though. That's because everything's so fast, and you're like, B! No, that's not how you spell B!
No, I really did. I've completely froze up, because I suddenly realised I'm in front of people, and I'm looking at this screen, trying to work out how to play it, going, and just, I completely, like, flatlined. It was awful. But what it is it presents you with a row of letters, so it's kind of like you're looking at a Scrabble tile, like you're looking at your little board of eight letters and you're working out what to write. However, underneath at the base of each of these tiles, there's a little red line, and it's creeping up the letter, and that's a time indicator. And when the red line hits the very top of the letter on any one of those tiles, it's game over. So in order to eliminate it from your little rack, you have to use it in a word. So not only do you have to form words from the letters you have before you, you have to use specific letters, because if you leave them on the tray for too long, they're going to start locking up, and it's going to end your game. So you might have had an E in the first turn you didn't use in the second turn, and it's already got the red line up halfway, so you're like, crap, I need to use something with E, damn it. And it really does put you under a hell of a lot of pressure. But it worked in a sort of good way. I can see that this would be appealing to wordy types. If you're a bus person or a crossword fanatic or whatever, this might be right down your alley. It's neat and it's clean and it's simply presented and it's sensibly priced at 69p or 99 cents. There are a lot of free-to-play word games, so maybe charging is dangerous, but I think it's nicely produced. And if I wasn't sitting in front of a lot of people doing it and feeling like a moron, I'd have probably enjoyed it even more. Either way, you can download that right now for your iPhone or iPad. 69p, 99 cents, and it's called Lex. L-E-X.
Come sit upon the throne of games.
Which inevitably begs the question, Harry, what have you been playing primarily this week that you'd like to talk about?
I just realised I've talked about most of the games.
I know, that's the problem, isn't it?
Damn. I guess I will do Twisted Planets.
Ooh. Oh, yes.
By Crescent Moon.
Right on. Go for it.
Came out, I believe that's another Thursday release. Came out yesterday. Mm-hmm. Or today, if you're now. It's a platformer mixed in with a sliding block puzzler with sort of a bit of fezzy, twisty, roundy. Mm. But then it's sort of squidged down to mobile size, so there's sort of star grabbing to get three stars, and it's a really, really good game. It's you play this weird TV headed creature thing, which I think is called Quub.
Yeah.
And you're dropped onto a three-dimensional world made out of cubes, and on this three-dimensional world made out of cubes are three stars. That you need to collect. You can get, I think, most levels you can finish if you just get one star, and that opens the portal that ends it all. But rather than just jumping around the world, you can move one cube at a time and one cube upwards. But you have to shift the world around by sort of swiping around the screen.
Gotcha.
So it sort of twists on its axis. And so you get to a position where you know you have to move the world, so you have to make sure Quub's in a place, because if it twists backwards and there's nothing underneath him, he'll just fall and die. So you have to sort of position him on things that are going to become ledges, so that he'll be on a ledge when it twists around, so he can jump up across to the next bit and get the next star. There's three stars to collect, but there's also a reward if you finish a level within a minute, which is sometimes reasonably easy, but quite often is very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a lot of levels, about 180, I think, possibly. That sounds too many.
Wow.
But a lot of levels, you sort of collect the stars, and that unlocks levels further on. There's lots of achievements. And it's just really, really good. It works really well on mobile, because there's no pressure on the platforming particularly. It's just tapping to move, so you know, there's no, oh god, I slipped on the controls. And the swipey stuff is nice as well, because you can sort of swipe and then the world starts moving, but unless you swipe the full way, it doesn't go all the way. So if you've got it wrong, you can stop before it catapults you to your death and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it adds new stuff as well. So there's later on in the levels, you've got like bounce pads. So you walk onto the bounce pad, you fly in the air, and then you've got time to swipe the world round, so that when Quub lands, he lands on a different side of the world and stuff like that. It's just,
oh, right.
It's really, it builds itself really nicely. It doesn't throw too much stuff at you, but it gets cleverer and cleverer as it goes along, so it always feels challenging.
Mm-hmm.
It never feels like the game hates you.
I played it a little bit when it accidentally released about 2 weeks ago or something, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I found it a little bit... maybe I was just being dumb at the time. In fact, I probably was. Difficult to get my head around. But it was certainly a nice idea. It had that Super Mario Galaxy thing where the world's floating in midair.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're kind of moving around it and stuff. I've got a video of it up now, finally.
Once it clicks, once you understand, it takes a couple of worlds to sort of work, get into your head, I guess. But once it does get there and it sort of grows from there, it's an impressive wee beast.
Oh, good stuff. All right, and so that's Twisty Planet. It's £1.49 or $1.99, I think. And it's out now on everything? Or at least iPhone and iPad, yeah?
It's an iPhone. Probably Crescent Moon stuff usually ends up on Android as well, I believe.
Right on, cool. Okay, so you can have a look at that. I have been playing Plant Man, which is a game that came out, I think it was out this week. It is a puzzle platformer in the vein of something like Flashback in Another World, certainly in its controls anyway. So what you do is you take control of this guy who is in a post-apocalyptic environment in which, like, everything's been destroyed and oxygen is scarce. So they have to run these power plants, which are basically massive greenhouses that provide oxygen for the whole world. Problem is, they have been infested with massive aphidy beasties that want to munch all the plants. So it's your job as Plant Man to run in there and try and eliminate all of the little creatures from the plant. So you do this by moving between sort of single screen worlds. Again, in that, like Oddworld on the PS1, that's another example of where you run from screen to screen and it just jerks and shifts to the new screen. And you control lifts by running onto them and just swiping up and swiping down. There are buttons which open doors. There are levers which activate these electric grids that sit on the floor. And most of the puzzles so far involve you having to coax these little creatures onto the electric grid and then running off and pulling the handle and frazzling them in an explosion of green goo, which is quite satisfying when you do. Visually, it's really nice. It's got a cartoony style that's very, very charming, and overused though that word is, it genuinely is quite nice. The controls are neatly handled in so much as to run, you just swipe left or right, and when I say that, I don't mean swipe and hold. You just swipe your finger against the screen and he'll automatically start running and continue running or walking. So you swipe once to walk, swipe twice and he'll run. You tap the screen anywhere and he'll come to a halt. If you get on a lift, you just swipe up and swipe down to move the lift up and down. And obviously, there are hot spots throughout the world, like buttons and things, which you just tap and that'll get them to work. In order to get the bugs to chase you, you have to approach them. And when you get within a certain range, they freak out and then they start chasing you. So you have to kind of come up and, like, you know, prod them essentially with a stick and then leg it. And they come bundling after you. And the idea is you run over a grid and they come charging forward. And just as they hit the grid, you pull the lever and frazzle, they die. That's at least at the beginning. It becomes a bit more complicated later when you have to use bug lures that you get from these vending machines. So it dispenses them onto the floor. You have to then place them in strategic places on the floor, irritate the bugs or get them to notice it, and then they'll run along and start snacking on it. And while they're snacking, you're kind of safe and they won't kill you, so you can walk past them and then entice them onto another one of them grids or something like that. It's quite interesting. I liked Flashback, despite it being stupidly, stupidly hard, as all those games were. And it's definitely influenced by that, and it's got a sort of sense of humour to it that isn't cringeworthy, which is nice. There's a big problem with the game, however, in so much as at the moment, you can't save. At all.
Yeah, because Mark was supposed to be reviewing it for us this week.
Yeah.
And it was just like, I can't play this because I can't save. I was like, oh, fair enough.
Exactly. Go.
In that case, you have to review Angry Birds Epic. Yeah, that's how it works.
Angry Birds saves whenever you want. You lucky bugger. So that is obviously a major downside. The developers have acknowledged this, and it's up on the App Store saying, look, we know this has happened. You can't save it. This is rubbish. We're trying to create a fix as soon as possible, and we're putting an update through. So it shouldn't be too long before it's ready. I did a hands-on with it just to show you 10 or 15 minutes, which is playing in the window right now. I enjoyed it, and I'm interested to see how much further it goes when I can actually save, because I'm not sitting down and playing it in one sitting. Sorry, guys. Fix the game first, then we'll talk. But yeah. Promising. Like, really nice. It looks like there's been attention paid to it. It looks quite polished, apart from the save thing. That's quite nice. And it's interesting to try and do another game which is about puzzles and logic and not combat. And I'm always up for that, especially when there are people and characters involved. So the default thing is when there's a human in your game, you stick a gun in its hand and get to shoot everything. And that's not the case here, so you have to use your brain a bit. It is out and it's free right now. I think it's episodic. I don't know how the free system works, whether it's temporarily free or whatever, but you can download it and at least give it a try now. But
don't try too hard. Don't start at like 10 o'clock, because exactly. Then you have to be in bed by half 10, then terrible.
Be non-committal about it. Approach it in the same way you would approach homework at school, or a particularly unexciting office assignment. Brilliant. So, there you go. E3 podcast action. All them new games and updates and everything. We've delivered that. There'll be even more next week when Peter returns from E3 and he'll give you first-hand info from inside the hornet's nest, inside the shark's mouth, inside the badger's armpit. That last one didn't work, did it?
Not really, no.
Probably a good place to leave it then. Thanks for listening and watching, guys. Take it easy. We'll catch you next week for another podcast.
See you next week. Bye.
Bye.
I might not be here.